Good morning, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to CPFL Energia's conference call about the second quarter of 2017 results. Today with us, we have Mr. André Dorf, CEO of CPFL Energia, Gustavo Estrella, CFO and Investor Relations Officer, as well as other executives of the company. The presentation for download may be found at the CPFL Energia's investor relations website, www.cpfl.com.br/investorrelations. We would like to inform you that all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. Afterwards, we will have a question and answer session when further instructions will be given. Should any of you need assistance during the call, please press star zero to reach the operator. We would like to remind you that this call is being recorded. Before proceeding, we would like to clarify that forward-looking statements that might be made during this call related to the business perspectives of CPFL Energia, operating and financial projections and targets, are beliefs and assumptions of the company's management, as well as information currently available. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions as they refer to future events, and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors may affect the future performance of CPFL Energia and may lead to results that differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now we would like to turn the floor over to Mr. André Dorf. Mr. Dorf, you may proceed.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another conference call about now the second quarter of 2017. We are with Gustavo Estrella, CFO, and our investor relations team, and also representatives from other areas of the company, and we will be available to answer questions after the presentation. As usual, we start with the highlights. Slide number three. These are the highlights of the quarter. Our sales in the quarter in the concession area went up 0.5%, with a different performance between captive and free market, and we will see later on that the sales in the captive market dropped almost 7%, whereas sales to the free market customers went up almost 20%. We also saw a reduction in the contracted demand, -1.2%, a drop of 1.2% of peak and about 2% peak. Increase of 33% in our net operating revenue and 6% in our EBITDA, very much because of the integration of RGE Sul. We also had an expressive volume of investments made in the quarter, almost 700 million reais invested in this period. Our net debt closed the quarter at 13.6 billion reais. Our leverage is 3.28 times net debt EBITDA ratio. Also, we had the RGE tariff adjustment in June with the average effect of 5% to be seen by consumers. Also, we had good news in terms of the early startup of Pedra Cheirosa Wind Complex, 48 megawatts of installed power, and also the early startup of Transmissão Morro Agudo in July, both projects according to schedule and according to our budget, on schedule and on budget. Besides, we had an update in the process of the sale of the control of the company to State Grid, changing the characteristic of the tag-along tender offer. Now we have the tag-along tender offer, so each minority shareholder will be able to decide to sell their shares for the same price as the controlling shareholders. I would like to highlight the last bullet, which has to do with the public consultation. Today, we are right in the middle of a period in which the Ministry of Mines and Energy is in a consultation about many improvements in the legal framework of the electric sector. And we understand that these are very positive proposals, and with a special attention to the transition periods for these new proposals. But CPFL is actively participating in all debates with the associations, with the government, and with the other agents and companies in the Brazilian electric sector. So there is a chance for improvement that we have now, and we are very motivated by that. On the next slide, number 4, we have a snapshot of our EBITDA in the quarter, 1,027,000,000 reals on the left in the pie chart. And we can see that the distribution segment accounted for 44% of this EBITDA. Generation accounted for 50% if we add conventional and renewable, and the remainder commercialization services and others. And breaking down by business, starting on the right by distribution, we can see, or we recorded practically a stability in the quarter, which brought us a growth of 3.5% in the year-to-date for the half year, comparing the first semester of 17 with the first in 16 because of the inclusion of RGE South in our portfolio, conventional generation, a growth of about 15% in the quarter and also in the half year, basically because of the adjustments of the contracts, renewable generation growing by 21% in the half year, almost 6 in the quarter. And here we highlight the coming on board of the wind farm and the sale that happened in the free market along 2016 and 17, and a non-recurrent fact in the first half of last year that was not repeated in 17. So these are the main effects in renewable energy. In commercialization services and others, we have the effect of prices and volumes in the delivery of services and the marketing of energy. So it was the growth of the activity itself. On the next slide, number 5. We have the energy sales in the distribution segment. Starting by the highlights, we had an increase in sales in the concession area of almost 16%. And RGE added 2,000 gigawatt hours in sales. And if we disregard the effect of the integration of RGE Sul in this figure, stable sales practically with a 0.5% growth in the period. We also had a reduction in the load measured in the same concession area, 1.8% reduction in the contracted demand as well, between 1.2% and 2% of peak and peak. And the good news about losses is that we had a slight reduction in our losses to 8.84% in the second quarter of this period. The same information is here on the right, on the upper right, the load in the concession area. And I mentioned net of the effect of RGE Sul, it dropped almost 2% with a major difference between free clients and captive clients. Some growing by almost 19% and the captive market having a drop of almost 10%. And on the lower part of the slide on the left, so we start to tell you about sales in the concession area, a 15% growth effect of the RGE Sul. So I think we should look at the chart in the middle that excludes the effect of RGE Sul. So now we have comparable periods, so we have stability of 0.5% that I mentioned a while ago. So if we look at the right, lower right, sales per consumption segment and now net of RGE Sul to make the periods comparable, we can see A slight drop in residential reminds you that we had the effect of temperatures in the first half of last year. Basically in April, the effect was very much big. So we had a very warm April last year. So this more than explains the drop in the residential consumption and consumption in the commercial area as well. And in the industrial, a slight reaction in the quarter 2017, 1.3% increase in sales in this period. Now on slide number 6, we talk about delinquency in the second quarter. The first chart shows the ADA evolution as a percentage of the gross revenue. A slight reduction vis-a-vis the previous quarter, but practically stable. And already a slight recovery vis-a-vis the more critical periods of the crisis. We can see here a degree of stability between the second quarter of 15 and the 17, something around 0.7% of the gross revenue. On the left, on the lower left, we see the total past due bills above 90 days as a percentage of gross revenues in the last 12 months. We can see here a slight decrease as well, and we believe it is a little bit too early to talk about the recovery in the market environment. So we see an improvement in the margin. Nevertheless, it's a little bit too early to say that this is structural. Our collection actions continue at full speed. On the right, lower right, we see the number of disconnections that we made in the quarter, and the figure is much higher than the track record of the company in this regard. And on slide number 7, we go from distribution to generation. So our performance in the second quarter of 17, so we had an early commercial startup of Pedro Serrosa Wind Farm or Wind Complex on budget and on schedule. We also had, and we still have, for some reasons, an unfavorable hydrological situation, and this has been impacting the volatility of our spot price, and we see a high volatility in the spot price and some concern with the hydro situation already. Likewise, we had unfavorable wind situation in the period, the speed of the winds, and this brought our wind generation to a level below P50. Starting on the upper right, we see a slight increase in our installed capacity in the period, so we grew almost 4%. And here the startup of these wind complexes, HL and Pedro Serrosa. And we see the evolution of the spot price with a high volatility, very much explained by the reservoir levels that you can see on the lower left. So you see the interconnected system, the national interconnected system. So the projection of ANS for almost 32% of the level or the capacity of the reservoirs, and much lower than the historical averages, and the more stressed difference on the right, which is the northeast reservoir level with a projection of 11.5% for this period, also much lower than the historical curves of the previous years. Now I would like to turn the floor over to Gustavo Estrella, our CFO, and he will be talking about our results. On slide number 8, we show the results of the second quarter of 2017. IFRS and also IFRS net of RGE SUE, so that we can have a more comparable basis. Starting with the IFRS, an increase in net revenue of 33.1%, or 1,482,000,000 reals. An increase in the EBITDA of 6.3%, 61 million reals, and a drop of net income of 48%, 117 million reals and on the lower part. So we show the effect by each one of the businesses of the group. We see in distribution, practically stable, the result of the discos. And this reflects the stability of the market, as I said, very close to zero growth in energy consumption vis-a-vis 2016. And this can be translated into stability of results as well. The main effect, we already have the effect of the RGE South here, 26 million reals, and the effect of the exchange rate variation of Itaipu, and it's a no impact on the result. So we have 43 million reals positive. And another important effect is the correction of the financial assets of the concession. This initiative is restated by the IPCA, and as we have a low IPCA vis-a-vis 2016, we also have the restatement of this asset, which is lower, 35 million reals. And the main point is to the reinforcement of our collection actions. As Andre said, we have good news, stability with the downward trend of our delinquency, but this still requires a major effort in our collection efforts, and this cost us 24 million reals in this quarter. In conventional generation, a total variation of 38 million reals. With the price adjustment of the contracts of generation, a more stable result, and basically because of the price increases that were transferred. And we also had the financial adjustments, the UBP of our generating companies, also restated by the IPCA. So we are talking about a liability here. When you have a lower IPCA, of course, you have a correction of this liability, which is lower as well. So a positive variation of 12 million reals vis-a-vis 2016, year on year. Renewable generation, total variation of 12 million reals. And here we already have the impact of the startup of the wind farms at the end of last year. And this brings us an increase in our EBITDA of 28 million reals. And this effect is partially offset by the reduction of the energy production with lower winds and also vis-a-vis 2016. So we have 30 million reals left. And the non-recurrent effect that I mentioned, which was the penalty, occurred in 2016, and that did not happen again in 2017. So you have a positive impact of 38 million reals coming from this item. A variation of 9 million in commercialization services and others, with a concentration of contracts at the end of last year. And this brings us a positive impact in our volume and also margins because of the volatility of the spot price during this first half of this year. Now, talking about net income, we have a negative variation of 170 million reals, and the financial result with a negative variation of 154 million reals. And it is important to highlight here that we already start benefiting from the reduction of interest rates in Brazil. 3/4 of our debt is pegged to the CDI, so this has a positive impact. And this should be the scenario that we expect by the end of the year. With further drops in interest rates, we should have positive variations in our financial results as well. And this amount ends up being offset for non-cash effect. And the first one is the exchange variation of Itaipu, with the positive variation that we have, the EBITDA that we give back here, 43 million reals, also a negative impact of our hedge for our generation farms with a swap. So we had a very positive impact last year with the increase in the exchange rate, and now it is the opposite because of the drop in the exchange rate of 2017. So year to date, it is positive, but in this quarter, we see a negative effect of 39 million reals. Another important effect is the mark-to-market. So last year, with a lot of volatility in the market, in the interest market in Brazil, we had an effect, a positive effect of mark-to-market in 2016. And with stability and the drop in interest rates in 2017, we have a negative effect. And year-to-date, this effect is very positive, but this quarter, it is 33 million reals. And just to add the effects on the financial result, we have the consolidation of RGE, so consolidation, 29 million reals in our financial result. And then, of course, the impact of the debt regarding the acquisition of this asset with an impact of 49 million reals on our result. Now, on page number 9, talking about our indebtedness. So our indebtedness closes the quarter with 13.6 billion reals, our net debt, with stability in our leverage with 3.28 times net debt EBITDA ratio, with the expectation of an improvement in results and the resumption of the economy. So the trend is to improve results, bringing us a lower leverage in the next few quarters. So we have 3/4 indexed to the CDI or pegged to the CDI, no exposure here in foreign currency, as we have never had. And on the left, we see already the positive impact on the financing cost of the CPFL debt, so 10.6% nominal rate and 7.4% real rate. Once again, a positive trend regarding reduction in our financing costs for the next few quarters. Now, slide number 10. Our debt amortization schedule and our liquidity position. And as we always stress, this is an important pillar for the company, the preservation of our liquidity. So our cash balance today is practically enough to cover all the short-term maturities and up to 2018. A very comfortable situation regarding cash of the company. On page 11, we have our Pedra-Charrosa wind complex. As Andres said, the startup 1 year before schedule. So it's already sold with a long-term PPA. Because of this early startup, we should be selling energy in the spot price, bringing a positive impact on our results in the next few quarters as well. On page 12, our Boa Vista 2 SHPP expected to start up in 2020. And this is a project, as you can see in this picture, the construction work has already started and financing being negotiated with the BNDES. And here on page 13, we have an update of the two tender offers that we are having, both CPFL Renováveis and CPFL Energia. With the material fact published on July 20th, we published by a decision of the shareholders, we migrated to a mandatory tender offer, and which is being analyzed by the CVM. So with that, we finish the presentation, and now we open for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now start our Q&A session. To ask a question, please press star 1. To remove your question from the queue, please press star 2. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, should you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. Our first question is from Mr. Vinicius Tisdani from HSBC. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the call. I would like to hear more from you about the proposals for changing in the sector, how the company intends to contribute to have a more effective sector. Good morning, Vinicius. Before that public consultation to improve the legal framework, we were already working in CPFL on changes, reforms, and modernizations that we believed to be needed as a future vision for the Brazilian electric power sector. And that is thanks to new technologies that are available to all nowadays, social changes also that will bring the change in the consumers' behavior that want to have more choices and also power to decide on everything that they use and consume, not only energy and also market changes. So I believe that this improvement proposal that is under consultation brings a very interesting component of an energy contracting model and a series of changes that will bring an impact to all the different links of this chain in the sector. It's important to say that for us, these proposals are consistent, are positive when we analyze the future of this segment. And obviously, the ministry and all agents that are involved in this initiative, we do have here a point of attention, which is a transition. We had a model in the sector that has worked very well that brought us up to where we are now. We have energy provided to the population that is at a very good level. The model has allowed us to have an expansion in the volume of investments that was very significant in the last 10 years, but now we have to look ahead. Is this current model or the past model be applied and be useful in the future? And that's what we have to think about. So in our point of view, we have very positive points being addressed, and we are paying attention to that transition to from a model that has worked so far, but yes, that does need improvements for the future. So we are actively participating on those discussions so that the electric sector as a whole comes out with a consistent and modern proposal. Thank you very much. And now, can I ask another question, please? How do you see the long-term price for energy considering the reservoir levels today once they are getting closer to a more difficult level, as you have mentioned? Well, the price has been shown some volatility. We do have a hydrology problem, especially in the Northeast. But thinking in the long term, everything will depend on the next wet period. So I believe the system will be stressed if we once again have an unfavorable wet period. I believe that this next wet period that we'll have starting by the end of the year will determine the long-term prices, at least for the next year. So it's difficult to say anything right now. It's clear. Thank you very much. Our next question is from Monica Bushi from EDC. Good morning, and thank you for your presentation. You have mentioned the investments of $698 million. Can you tell us more about investments? How do you see that from now on? Yes. Good morning, Monica. Yes, really, we are in a very intensive year in terms of investments. We have concluded some important projects, and especially Renovables, and we have been investing in the regulatory basis in RGE, in our south operations, so RGE Sul, and also in Paulista. So these are important years so that we can develop our base. And they do require a significant volume of investment. So we are on schedule, and we have an estimate for investments, which is about 10 billion reals for the next 10 years, 2.7 billion in 2017, and a total of around 10 billion in the next 5 years. And most of that investment will be in the distribution sector, considering that we have already delivered a good part of the projects of generation and transmission. So the bulk of it now is going to be towards distribution. Thank you very much. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star one. Once again, should you have a question, please press star one. We close now our Q&A session. I would like to turn the floor back to Mr. André Dorf for his final remarks. Very well. I would like to highlight that the company, as I mentioned in the release, has been very much active in this first half of the year. We are going through an important control change. In addition to that, we have described several actions that we are working on in the company, and we did have important actions in order to face the effect of the economy in our market. So the disconnections, the collections efforts, we have gone an extra mile in the first half of the year in that sense as well. In addition to that, we also had the integration of RGE Sul, very important operation for ourselves, and that represents a great potential synergy in Rio Grande do Sul if we add our assets from our RGE to this RGE Sul asset now that is integrated. We could have synergies in the future, so we did have great efforts in that integration and also in the team's integrations. Addition to that, as I mentioned in Vinicius' questions, we are actively participating on the discussions to improve the market for the electric sector framework that also is taking up attention of our main executives. That's very important for the future of the sector, and that really demands great attention. With all that, we were able to maintain our results consistent in the first half of the year. Our EBITDA has increased, and we are looking for opportunities to improve in the company's management. With that, I thank you all for participating in this call. Have a nice day and have a nice weekend. Thank you. The conference call of CPFL Energia is concluded. Thank you very much for your participation, and have a nice afternoon. Thank you.